Amen.
Why don't you tell them that story about them Kool-Aid? Was it crackers or whatever?
Yeah, the Kool-Aid story?
Yeah, tell us that. That blessed my heart.
Amen. Amen. All right. While you're taking your Bibles to Mark chapter 16, if you'll do that this morning, please. And there's no way I can tell all of how much we've enjoyed this meeting. Words won't do it justice. Thank you, Pastor Sexton. Thank you, church, for just having us to be a part of this. The food, the fellowship, the lodging, the gifts, what you did for the kids last night. I looked around at the missionaries' wives, tears in their eyes, and us men, we're just too manly to do that. But when you do something for our children, you touch our hearts beyond anything. And it's a joy. You see the smiles on the kids' faces. And I echo what Brother Harrison said this morning. I grew up in a preacher's home, and I grew up in a home where I saw a lot of mean Christians do some mean things to my dad and through the ministry. And when I was 16 years old, that's what turned my heart against wanting to serve God. I didn't want to do in the ministry. For the last 11 years, I've had the joy of pastoring people who it was a joy to pastor, and where my kids could see some real believers.
Yes.
That weren't a bunch of put-ons and say one thing and do another. And then now to be able to go around and visit churches like this one where there's some real people and to see our children have a joy to serve God. When we get around places like this, see, you're putting in the hearts of my kids to want to serve God. You see, they will want to do this. And so you're to be commended for showing your heart in that. I was talking to the pastor last night. I said, "Brother, you've been blessed." He said, "I don't understand it. Why God's blessed us like He has?" And I said, "Well, I can give you 701,718 reasons." I can give you 701,700. When you bless, when you take care of missionaries and missions, God is going to bless you. And you're never going to have to worry about who the president is and who the economy, what the economy is. When you continue to give to missions, God's going to give through you. God will give through you what He won't give to you, right? I've heard that somewhere, Brother Blue. And I've been blessed and helped by the preaching. All these missionaries, thank you, Brother Blue, for preaching the Word of God like you have. It's been wonderful. And, amen. And Brother Dwayne Harrison, what Brother Sexton said, us missionaries, you need to take note of that. When he walked in our door about 10 years ago as a missionary on deputation, I knew that God's hand on his life. And we supported 29 missionaries, and I tell you, all of them did great work, and we're thankful for all of them. But I put Brother Harrison on one of the short lists of those that were the real deal, and I'm thankful to know him. Let me tell you this story that the pastor was telling me. You know, well, let's just go another direction. Let's go to the text that goes with the story. How about that? Okay, let's go over. To where the Shunammite woman is. Now somebody help me, because, all right, you Bible scholars, the story of the Shunammite. It's in 1st or 2nd Kings, isn't it? I don't have that pulled out. If it takes me too long to pull that sermon out. Somebody find it for me and tell me while I'm getting there. Anything you can do to make missions personal, since the Lord's leading in this direction, where's it at? 2 Kings chapter 4, thank you. 2 Kings chapter 4, turn over there if you will. I'm just going to follow. Listen, I've been around this thing long enough. When the Lord's leading this way, that's the way you need to go, right? Amen?
Amen.
I've had one sermon, I done canceled that one out when Brother Dwayne preached an hour and a half. And then had another one ready to go that was going to be a 5 minute now, and this is the way the Lord's going. Look at 2 Kings chapter 4. Look at verse 8. The Bible says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman." Now, I don't know if the Bible means that she was a great woman in the eyes of people or if she was a great woman. I kind of think she was just a great woman, you know. "And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually." Everybody, all you preachers in here, would God that we would live in such a way that there would be no doubt among people that we're a holy man of God.
That's right.
I want people to... I think about my dad. We were bowling one day in West Virginia. We were just bowling as a family. And a man over in the next lane came over. And I was like 10 years old. I still remember this. And a man came over and he said, "You're a preacher, aren't you?" Dad said, "Yeah, how did you know?" He said, "I could just see it." Dad was wearing a golf shirt and a pair of blue jeans and was bowling with his family. But that man looked over at the next lane, the bowling alley, and said, "I perceive that that's a holy man of God." Right there as a 10-year-old, I said, "God, if I could just be the man of God that my dad is, that people could see God in me." She said, "I perceive that this is a holy man of God." Verse 10, "Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for them him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither." This, of course, is where we get the idea of a prophet's chamber. "And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care." And that's what I say, all you missionaries, when you say amen, y'all have been careful for us with all this care. We will never forget the Ridgeview Baptist Church. Hey, I can guarantee you that. "What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host?" And she answered, look at the humility upon this woman's life. "I dwell among mine own people. I don't need anything. I don't need you to go to the king for me. I'm just a common lady. I'm nobody. I'm just a regular old person. I don't need anything." And he said, "Well, what then is to be done for her?" And Gehazi answered, "Verily, she hath no child, and her husband's old." And he said, "Call her." And when he had called her, she stood in the door, and he said, "About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son." And she said, "Nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid." I always like to put it, you know, she said, "Get out. Don't you be trying to fool this old woman. Don't be telling me stuff like that, you know." And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life. I preach this message, if I have an opportunity in missions conferences where maybe they haven't, they're just getting started. You don't need this message here as much as I've seen at other churches. But one thing that makes a difference, I've pastored for 20 years and now I'm on this side. And I'm telling you, it is really like doing this. Wow. It really was. I pastored and we wanted to take care of missionaries and we had missionaries in and we longed to be that church that missionaries would never forget. We, in one way or the other, but we wanted it to be in a good way. You know what I'm saying? And so we would do our best to honor and love and dote on the missionaries and make them out to be heroes and all that. We wanted to do that, and I would pick the missionaries' brains, tell me what I can do better. And missionaries, it's hard for them to do that because they're afraid of offending you. And I would just work on them and work on them until they'd finally open up and give me some comments about what we were doing right, what we were doing wrong, because I didn't want that missionary to get in his car and look at his wife and go, "Whoo, you know, we're glad we're leaving there." I wanted them to go, "Wow, what a blessing. Those people love God and they love missions and they love missionaries." And so we longed to do that. And one thing that we tried to do was say, make it personal. Don't make a missionary some letter on a wall somewhere. Don't make a missionary just some prayer card stuck on the refrigerator. But get involved. If you just pick one missionary, maybe you can't, "Well, I can't get involved in all of them." Well, that's all right. God, lay on your heart one and get personally involved in their lives. Read their letters and write to them and email them. And a lot of them have phones where you can actually call them. When I get over there, I'll have a 434 area code, a Vonage phone. Man, ain't technology wonderful. And pick up the phone and call them. Tell them happy birthday and get involved in their life in a personal way. And I always strive to do that. I love this story because here's a woman. Now, listen, here was Elisha coming by, and any of the people that he was ministering to could have done what this woman did. Any of them could have done it. But in her heart, she took that step. She made that personal decision to get invested in the life of this man. First of all, I see personal involvement. The thing she does first is she invites him over to the house. You know, please, and the Bible says she constrained him. Now, when you constrain somebody, they're not at first willing to do it. I can see Elisha, you know, he's a great man of God. I'm telling you. Woo! And this Shunammite woman just loves him. "Oh, Elisha's coming to town. Oh, I can't wait to hear from the man of God. Boy, I can't wait to hear what he has to tell us this time." And then she got on her heart, "I want to have him over for supper." And she goes up to him and she says, "Dear preacher Elisha, my husband and I would be honored if you'd come to our house and eat." And she says she constrained him. I get the idea. Elisha said, "Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it, but we'll be fine." Well, she wasn't going to say, "Well, okay then, old snob preacher, I won't have nothing to do with me." She constrained him. She said, "But preacher, I'm telling you, God's put it on my heart. Please come to my house." "Well, now, ma'am, I don't think, I'm telling you, I'm begging you to come." You see, sometimes getting involved more than just the passing by involves that you go the extra step and you plead and you say, but you don't understand. Maybe you don't know me and maybe you don't understand, but I'm telling you, I'm going to show you my heart here. I really love you. God's really put you on my heart. I really want you in my home. Elisha somehow is convinced and goes to her home and begins to eat supper. Boy, can you just see how proud she is walking around that house? "I got Elisha in my house. I got the man of God sitting at my table. Woo! He could eat with anybody, but he's eating with me." Personal involvement. The second thing I see is a personal investment. That wasn't enough. The Bible says that then, well, she must have been a pretty good cook, because the Bible says Elisha, every time he went by there, he went to her house. Huh? She didn't have to constrain him but one time. After that, it was easy. Whenever he went to that town, he knew where he was going to eat at. But that wasn't enough. She says to her husband, I believe this is a man of God. Let's do more for him. What are you going to do? Let's build him a place where he can rest. Man of God needs a place to rest. Now, I don't know how she came up with that or how God put that on her heart, but she said, let's make him a little bed over here and a little table and a lamp. You see, here's the thing, though. Here's what she had to do. She had to pay close attention to what his needs were. See? It wasn't just a little passing interest she had in this man. She was watching his life. She was praying to God for him. And she was very careful to take note. I wonder what he needs. He needs this. He needs a bed, and he needs a table, and he needs a lamp. He needs this. This is what he needs. How are you going to know what your missionaries need on the field if you don't take the time to read their letters and really pray? They're called prayer letters, not brag rags. Prayer letters. But we have to play the game as missionaries, so we fill up our letter this high with stuff you want to hear about how many souls we led, Lord, how many churches we planted, and down in one little sentence is pray for us over these issues. It ought to be the other way around. We ought to fill the page up with things that you need to pray for us about. Because it's all about Him anyway. She made a personal investment. Personal involvement and a personal investment. And boy, it paid off, didn't it? Elisha said, we ought to do something for this lady. Can I? And I gave the pastor an idea that, you know, I'm learning now as a missionary, if I had it to do over again as a pastor. I've learned so much, even in the 6-8 months of this, that now if I was a pastor, there are things I'd do differently. And one of the things I would do, and I told the pastor, this is a crazy idea. It's radical. It's out there. I think churches ought to send missionaries prayer letters. How many of you missionaries would agree with me by a good hearty amen that you'd love to hear from your churches at least twice a year? I would. I'd love to hear what's going on. I'd love to hear about souls being saved. I'd love to hear about young women surrendering to go to the mission field. I'd love to get something in the mail or an email from one of my churches that says, well, I want to tell you about the revival we got going on down here at Ridgeview. We got people getting saved and we got people surrendering to the mission field. I mean, our missions went up to $100,000 last year. I'd get that and say, glory to God. You know why? Because I'm praying for you. All my list of supporting churches in our morning devotional time, we go down the line, and one church every morning that supports us, we call out their name. We pray for their pastor. We pray that God will help them, because without them, without God keeping them strong, what are we going to do? And we'd love to hear from them. We'd love to hear what's going on in their lives. And so I said, he says, well, what can we do for her? He wants to do something for her. And we on the mission field, when we get there, if you think we're going to forget you, are you crying? Every month we remember you. Amen. At least once a month we're going to remember you. Please don't forget us. Amen. But we do. I know that already. You say, well, we're just one of 100 churches. And? So? Is that what you think of your missionaries? Uh-oh. Oh. Well, you're just one of 50. Thanks. Just like you don't want us to say, well, thank you, Ridgeview. Now on to the next one. Please don't go, thank you, missionary. On to the next one. Yeah. If this flops, it's his fault. He's the one that told me to do this. No. Listen. He said, what can we do for that woman? We want you to be blessed. As missionaries, you've been a blessing to us. And when you get personally involved in our lives, when you become more than just John Q. member, but if you become a special person in our lives, we go, how can we be a blessing to that person? How can we pray for you? And so they come up, what can we do? Well, I don't know. Can we speak to the king for you? Pah, we don't need that. Ridgeview, I can't make you famous. The most famous church in all of Tennessee, you don't want that, no how. What can we do? And Gehazi said, well, she's old, her husband's old. They don't have a child. Elisha said, I like that idea. Hey, dear lady, come here. She stood at the door. He said, about this time, this season, you'll have a child. I've been out. Glory! Amen. and you can get in there and apply that, that we would pray for you as churches to have new birth.
Amen.
That you could have souls saved.
Yes.
But she got a great return on that little investment. When you get involved in the lives of your missionaries, when you take time to really get to know them and talk to them and write them and really pray for them, God's going to bless you. God's going to bless you. Let me tell you two stories. I'll tell you the Kool-Aid story and then I'll tell you my story. Back in, I would tell our missionary families when they came, and Brother Dwayne can testify that I would tell them this. And can I tell you real quickly a story with Dwayne? Dwayne Harrison was coming home on furlough. And I was talking to him in conversation. And he said, yeah, I said, what are some of your needs? He said, well, I'm going to have to rent a van like the one he's in now. And I said, well, how much is that going to cost you? How much was it going to be? $350? Like $350 a month for 12 months. I said, well, Brother Dwayne, I can tell you our church will pay 1 month of that for you. And then the Lord spoke to my heart and said, Daddy, what's he going to do the other 11 months? Thanks, brother. I can ride around it in 1 month. Thanks a lot. So I said, Brother Dwayne, God's laid this on my heart. Send me a list of all your supporting churches. Now, you don't give that out. And I said, send me a list of all your supporting churches. Why? I said, because I want to call them. Why? Because I'm going to get you that money for that van. He said, I don't know, brother. I don't know. I said, Dwayne Harrison, send me the list. He prayed over it, I'm sure, begged God. Sent me that list. He knew me. He's like, I went down that list and I started calling pastors. Boy, you should have heard some of the responses I got, Brother Blue. Hello, this is Pastor Branch of Victory Baptist Church in Danville, Virginia. We support a mutual missionary, Dwayne Harrison. Yes, is he all right? Oh, yeah, he's alive. But as you know, brother, and I would test him on this, as you know, brother, he's coming home on furlough. Some of them said, oh, really? And I said, he's coming home on furlough. He's going to have to rent a van, $350 a month for 12 months. Our church is going in 1 month. My buddy Tim Smith across town is going to pay 1 month. I'm looking for 10 more preachers supporting churches that will pay 1 month of his rental van, and we'll be able to take care of it. I got everything from, you know the worst one I got? Our missions committee meets in 3 months. We just met last Wednesday. I'll bring it up. You know what I told him? Honest, I told him. I said, brother, forget it. I'll have all the money by that time. Don't worry about it. I did. I made some of them mad.
Good.
Who are you? I'm Brother Branch. You're calling for Dwayne Harrison? Yeah. I don't know about this. I said, well, look, brother, you can do it or not. It took me several phone calls, but I reminded him last night, did I get your money? We had all 12 months paid for. Why? Because I just wanted to make a personal, get personally involved in this man's life. All right, so I get another call about a year after that. Missionary in Sri Lanka, island off the coast of India. 21 million people on an island the size of West Virginia. Muslim, Catholic, that's it. And Steve Sorrell. Anybody know Steve Sorrell? Crazy Steve Sorrell. Went over there and hit that island wide open. And won people to God. He calls me on the... And I told Steve Sorrell, saying, I told Dwayne Harrison, I said, put me on the short list. I told every missionary, put me on the short list. If you got five churches that you could call and ask for anything, I want to be on that list. Steve Sorrell called me one day. He said, Brother Branch, yes, sir. Called me from Sri Lanka. He said, I got a favor to ask you. And he said, it's a favor that I knew you were the only one I could call and ask. I said, oh, brother. I said, what do you need? I didn't know. You know what he asked me for? He said, Kool-Aid. Jim Jones immediately went to my mind. Go ahead and say it. I asked him. I said, are you fixed to go Jim Jones on them people? He laughs. He said, brother, tears in the phone. He said, my kids want some Kool-Aid. Yeah. How many of you have bought a 12-cent pack of Kool-Aid and took it for granted?
Yeah.
With tears in his eyes, he said, my kids want some Kool-Aid. I said, brother, Kool-Aid you want, Kool-Aid you gonna get. I said, what's the favorite flavor? Green. I went back to my church. That was on a Tuesday, I think, on a Wednesday night. I said, church, we have got a request. They love the Sorrells. Our church loved the Sorrells. They had gotten personally involved. They knew who the Sorrells were. They knew what was going on in their life. And I said, the Sorrells have asked us for Kool-Aid. I said, church, let's don't just, anybody can mail a packet of Kool-Aid over there. Let's send them some Kool-Aid. So I said, let's go 2 weeks. 2 weeks. 2 weeks from this Wednesday, I'm going to put a box up here. Every service, y'all come up here and put Kool-Aid in it. My people went out and started buying Kool-Aid off the shelves and cleaning the stores out. They would pay attention to when the stock days were at the local grocery stores and would wait for the stock boy to bring out the Kool-Aid. And the stock boy would literally say and hand the box over to him. When it was all totaled, we sent Brother Steve Sorrell 1,832 packs of Kool-Aid. I went to the mailbox. I went to the post office. I said, sir, I need 2 boxes. For what? Kool-Aid. Where is it going? It's going to Sri Lanka. Are they going Jim Jones over there? Well, how many packs? Well, how much have you got? 1,832. Do what? Why? Because he wants some. Can you give me 2 boxes, please? Put those boxes in there. Mailed it out. I called Brother Steve. Brother Steve, yes, sir. Kool-Aid is on the way. He said, praise God, brother. I said, we did what we could. Took me 2 weeks to get some together. It'll last you a little while. I waited. About 2 weeks later, hello? Glory to God, hallelujah! Amen, glory to God, I've never seen so much Kool-Aid in all my life. Green Kool-Aid everywhere. Glory to God, hallelujah! I said, is this Steve Sorrell? He sent me a picture. Of his church and all of his people drinking Kool-Aid. Look at the smiles on them people's faces right before they're poisoned to death. That's personal involvement. Now let me tell you my story. You remember I was a missionary? 1975. When I was just 6 years old, my daddy, you got to remember, my daddy wasn't, but my mama was 22, 23. My daddy was 26 years old. Just young kids on the mission field. I'll never forget it like it was yesterday. We had 1 week to go before our support check came in. We got up that morning, and I got a picture of it at my house, of our meal that morning. It consisted of, wouldn't you know it, I never, A pitcher of green Kool-Aid. Boy, how things will come around. But I have it's a pitcher of Kool-Aid, a half box of crackers, Ritz crackers, and about that much peanut butter. And that's all the food we had in the house. And I remember Dad sitting at the table that morning. And I remember he prayed a prayer like this. I'll never forget it. He said, "Lord, as we're about to take of this food, he said, this is all we have. We are 1 week away from getting any support and we don't have any money. You said, Lord, that if we would follow you, you would always provide for us. And we trust you. Lord, if you don't send help, my family's going to go hungry. We love you and we thank you for what's food. We ate those crackers and we ate that peanut butter. And we went to the post office that day. And I remember it. My mama and me were standing here. Daddy opened up the mailbox, reached inside, and leaned against the post office boxes and started going through the mail. He came across a little envelope, handwritten, from North Carolina. He turned that thing around and opened it up. And he pulled out inside, wrapped up inside a little note. He pulled out a miracle. He pulled out a $10 bill. You say $10? Yeah. In 1975 in San Jose, Costa Rica, do you know what that equaled? 1 week's worth of groceries. Now wait a minute. So Daddy pulls that out. He starts reading the note. He just starts crying. Mama said, "Pete, what is it?" She read that little note, said something like this: "Dear missionary family, you don't know who I am. I'm just a member of one of your supporting churches. But God laid this on my heart, and I just thought I'd send you this little offering. I hope it can help." You don't send $10 in 1975 to San Jose, Costa Rica. We would get cards all the time in Costa Rica that would say there was money in it and there wasn't no money in it. And the envelope had been ripped open. They'd steal cash. God said, "Not this $10 bill." God in heaven made sure that $10 bill made it from that little lady in North Carolina to a family that needed it. But wait a minute. When she sent it 2 weeks prior to the time it got there. We didn't need it 2 weeks ago. We needed it the day that it got there. I'm telling you, God's on time. He'll always come through. Listen, you think somehow I'm scared to go to South Africa? No, because I still serve the God that can get a $10 bill right on time. And when I need something in South Africa, it'll be there. God's going to be there. But somebody, remember my dad and said, "I believe that's a holy man of God. I'm going to send him a $10 bill. Got personally involved. I don't even know who that woman is. When I get to Daddy's already there. When I get there, one thing I know I'm going to do. I said, "Daddy, let's go find that woman." You say, "What? I got eternity to do it." Yeah. And I believe me and my daddy are going to tell her that story. And say, "Glory to God. Thank you for being a blessing." Get involved in the life of your missionaries. Amen. You gave that kid $500 to go on his trip.
Yes.
You might as well give him $5 million.
Amen.
That's a blessing.
Yes.
That's a blessing. And you gave him $1,000. I was over there wanting to vote. I wanted to hurry up and join so I could vote. Because I wanted to get involved. He's worthy of it, not because of who he is, but who God is. Get involved. I'm so glad I've had a chance to be at a conference where it wasn't just something on the side, where it was just, well, we're doing this because we have to. But the heart shows of you people, don't ever change. If we come back from furlough, listen, the same thing that you're looking for us, stay faithful. You better stay true. Don't you swerve off to the left. Ridgeview, stay faithful, stay true. Don't you verve off to the left. When we come back on furlough, we want to come back here. We want to be in this missions conference. We want to shout it out with you again. We want to rejoice in God's goodness. We don't want to come back and find it gone liberal and there's nobody here. I tell you, we need churches like this that'll get involved in the lives of missionaries. Glory to God. I'm done. I mean, really, I'm done.
Well, I say amen. My, hadn't it been a good morning this morning? If you're not involved, you need to get personally involved. Amen. I like it. I like it. Well, I don't know how to close it out now. I'm about ready. Somebody else preach a while. Boy, it's been good. I know some of you wanting to go eat. That's all right. Well, I tell you what we're going to do. Some of our missionaries won't be with us tonight. I'd like for them just to come up here and us come by and shake hands. And I'll tell you what, let's do, rest of you be with us tomorrow. Everybody's not leaving today. Will you be with us tomorrow and during the day service? Okay. All right. I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to tell you how much we love you today, so we won't have to do it tomorrow. That didn't sound right, but that's... You understand what I'm saying? Then tomorrow we can just have church, so to speak. Y'all understand. Read through what I said and understand what I mean by it. That's all I'm asking. Why don't y'all come up here and let us just come by and shake your hand. Mike's been good. You know, we may not be able to support all of you. We sure can pray for you. And we sure do feel like we've made some friends this way. We really do. We love you. We love all of you. Come on up here. Come on, all of you. Just line up across here. It won't take but a minute. I get so daggum tired of formalities and schedules and trying to work everything in. Why don't we just do how we feel led? Church, can you come by and love on these men? Shake hands, tell them you love them in the Lord, and let them know. Shake hands with these young folk. My, aren't they champions? Aren't they something? Let's come around here. Sister King, if you could just play just real softly for us. I sure would appreciate it. God bless you, missionaries. Bless you, missionary wives, missionary children. Bless your heart for fulfilling the Great Commission.